It's incredible when you go looking for the prayer of St. Patrick, you find hundreds of them. And yet there's only two writings of St. Patrick that are ascribed to him. All the rest are fictitious conjecture and slants that people choose to write. Let's just pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this evening that as we celebrate this St. Patrick's night, it's the first for Shiloh Christian Fellowship, simply because, Lord, it's the first Sunday night that we remember St. Patrick's night falls on this Sunday evening. But Lord, it's wonderful to be able to come and look with fresh eyes and to hear with fresh ears, Lord God, something of this man's life. You sent him with a mission, and he came to fulfill that mission out of his love for you and his indebtedness to you. And we just pray tonight, Lord God, that we would honor you and honor his life, Lord God, and his legacy. We pray, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear wonderful things from out of your word, and may your Holy Spirit speak your truth into our souls this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm reading this evening from Psalm 23. And you might think, that's a bit of a weird passage to be reading on St. Patrick's night. But hopefully it will come together here and explain why. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. King David is the author of Psalm 23. In fact, he's the author of many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. And Psalms just mean songs. They were songs that he had written to be sung in the temple to aid the people in their worship of the Lord. But before David ever became the greatest king of Israel, he was once a shepherd boy shepherding his father's flock out on the mountains of Israel. And it was during these times of loneliness and isolation out on the hills that David cultivated his relationship with God and came to see God was a good shepherd of his people. David was a good shepherd of his father's sheep. We can read in the life of David how he protected them, how he led them to green pastures, how he took them down into the deep wadis, into the deep valleys, and took them up over the mountaintops to get to the green pastures. David was a good shepherd, but he learned in those times when he was out there at all weathers and nights and winter, all seasons, he realized that God was a good shepherd who takes care of his people. And David completely entrusted himself into the Lord's hands. David learned from experience the Lord was his shepherd. I wonder how many of us tonight could read Psalm 23 and own it like the writer of the psalm did. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David learned from experience. The Lord was his shepherd. The Lord was his guide. The Lord was his comfort. The Lord was his provider. The Lord was his help. I saw a man coming, as it were, from Ireland. His name was Victoricus, and he carried many letters. And he gave me one of them. I read the heading, The Voice of the Irish. As I began the letter, I imagined in that moment that I heard the voice of those very people who were near the wood of Falkloth, which is beside the Western Sea. And they cried out with one voice, "We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us." These are the words of Patricius, or Patrick. He wrote these words himself, recounting a vision he had when he heard the call of God to take the good news of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the pagan Irish. The same man, in his own writings, describes himself like this: "I am a sinner. I am a simple country person, and the least of all believers." Patricius, or Patrick, was born in Roman Britain. There's arguments about whether it was in Wales or in Scotland, and it was in the late 4th century. And Wednesday of last week, Cyril Glass and myself were up with Desi Roberts and Jack Gallagher up at his house in Hollywood, and we were having this discussion, and I was saying, "No, I think he was born in Wales." And Jack Gallagher was saying, "No, it makes more sense if he was born around about Dumbarton in Scotland, because what happened to him when the pirates took him, it would have been so much easier to just sail straight across to Northern Ireland, whereas if it was Wales, it would have crossed into the south as we know it now." But there's a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, a lot of arguments about where was Patrick born. But although he had early Christian influences in his life, just like many of us, just like many people watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, maybe not Christians, but you've had Christian influence in your life. You've had a mother that's prayed for you all her life, a father that has been pleading with God on your behalf. You've had grandparents who were crying out to God. You had people, Sunday school teachers, who invested so much of God's word in your life. You've had early Christian influences in your life. Well, just like Patrick, although he had early Christian influences in his life, his dad, for example, was a deacon, and his grandfather was a priest. Yet Patrick never used this time to cultivate his own relationship with God. His early life and the Christian influences didn't seem to have any impact on his young life. At 16 years old, Patrick was kidnapped. Nowadays it's called people trafficking. But he was kidnapped and he was sold into slavery in Antrim in Ireland, near Slemish Mountain. And for 6 years he tended his chieftain master's cattle, travelling over the hills and the glens. And during these years of hardship looking after his master's cattle, the Holy Spirit of God moved Patrick to trust in the Lord, and he became a Christian, having received forgiveness for sins. Patrick, during that time, continually cried out to God for strength and for help, constantly communing with God in prayer. 6 years into his captivity, having heard an inner voice telling him to go home, telling him to escape, Patrick ran away and went back eventually to Britain, where he completely dedicated himself to Christ and the service of God. In the days of his captivity, during these times of loneliness and isolation out on the hills and the glens of Antrim, Patrick came, like David, to know the Lord as his shepherd. And he was burdened that others might come to know the Lord as well. He wanted others to know the love of God as he had come to know the love of God. The Holy Spirit endued Patrick with a gift of evangelism, and dreaming of Ireland and unable to get the Irish people out of his head and his heart, Patrick then had his vision of the man coming from Ireland and hearing the voice of the Irish cry out to him, "We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us." He eventually came back to Ireland as a missionary, but was met with resistance by the locals in Wicklow, who gave him a hiding. And so he went up north to preach the gospel. Patrick possibly, and we say possibly, and Jack Gallagher's going to be watching this, because we argued this as well. Patrick possibly traversed the whole island of Ireland, although that's debatable. But wherever he went on the island, he was preaching God's good news of salvation for all who will repent and believe in Jesus. He even went to the chieftains. He went to the high people in the villages and in the towns and in the cities, asking for their permission to preach the gospel. And they gave them permission because they wanted to hear it themselves. And although, as I said, he may have traveled the whole island of Ireland, his main place of stay was Armagh. He lived and he served God. After that call of God, after the initial call of God, he lived and he served God on this island, preaching Christ crucified and risen from the dead, and salvation for all who will believe. He served God for 40 years. Here are some myths and misconceptions surrounding Patrick the evangelist. Firstly, it is nonsense to suggest that Patrick introduced the gospel to the island of Ireland. He didn't. There were others before him. There was Bishop Palladius and others who God had so graciously sent, and people who were saved by God's divine grace on this island before Patrick ever came. But when Patrick came, he came as one endued with power from on high, and he was the Billy Graham of his day. He came, and when he preached the gospel, people got saved because he had the anointing of God. But he did not introduce the gospel to the island of Ireland. Another myth or misconception: Patrick was never canonized by any pope to officially make him Saint Patrick. To become a saint in the eyes of the Catholic Church, you need to have a history of miracles and godly living and doing so many, many, many good works. And there has to be great accreditation following you. And then when you die, these people all get together and decide, this man's worthy of being made a saint. Well, Patrick was never canonized by any pope to officially make him Saint Patrick. However, the Bible, which has more authority than any pope, however, the Bible, God's word, teaches that every person, please listen to this, every person who turns from their sin and puts their trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save them is a saint of God. I'm Saint Taddy of 51 Lismore Avenue, Bangor. There's no other Saint Taddy in my house. You, if you are a Christian tonight, you are Saint so-and-so of your home. Because the Bible, which is the Word of God, says that anyone who is born again by the Spirit of the living God through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone, the Bible said they are a saint of God. We don't need people to canonize us and make us saints. When we're singing the song, "Oh, when the saints go marching in," that's us. That's not Saint Patrick and Saint Andrew and all of the other so-called saints. That's the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another myth and misconception: Patrick didn't banish any snakes from Ireland. It's a complete and utter nonsense. There was no snakes in Ireland. Everybody knows that. There wasn't any. But in a spiritual sense, and this is what was trying to be presented, in a spiritual sense, he banished the symbolic serpents of wickedness and sin from within many people's lives in Ireland through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were no longer enslaved to Satan, the serpent, sin and death, but they had become slaves of righteousness and of truth through faith in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. That is the snakes that St. Patrick banished. Another interesting thing, the colour of St. Patrick is not green, white, or gold. The colour of St. Patrick is blue. The flag of St. Patrick is actually a red saltar, an X on a white field. But we have politicized him. We have allowed people to hijack him. And we have had people steal away a precious gift that God gave to this island. And the church needs to take him back as one who belongs to Christ. We need to uphold him. We need to revere him as we would the Apostle Paul and the others, knowing, yes, they're sinners just like us, but God used them to present the gospel to us. As Patrick said, I'm a sinner. I'm just a countryman. I'm the worst of all believers. Humble man, but a man saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the 17th of March actually marks St. Patrick's death, not his birth. And so people are out celebrating the death of St. Patrick when they should be celebrating his birth, celebrating the truth that he proclaimed, new birth for any who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm delighted the Catholic people revere Patrick, but I wish they would revere him for the truth. Not like the church that came out a couple of days ago and said, St. Patrick liked to drink beer, go and drink as much as you want. That's not what St. Patrick would be saying. I appreciate Catholics and Protestants have their views and their opinions of Patrick. And whatever your views and whatever your opinions are of Patrick, because of the relationship that he had with God, because of his faith in the Lord as his shepherd, just like King David of Israel, because of his faith in the Lord as his shepherd, Patrick was and truly is a saint of God. Unfortunately, like many other people and events in our history, tribalism has hijacked St. Patrick and turned him into a cultural shillelagh used to beat each other. But the love, the language, and the legacy of St. Patrick is salvation is of Christ the Lord. May your salvation be ever with us, Lord. And so, Christian, tonight, it's not wrong to follow St. Patrick's example. May Christ, as Mark prayed the prayer of St. Patrick, may Christ be in every part of your life. May you know the Lord as your shepherd, like Patrick and King David of Israel did. Maybe tonight there's someone watching on Facebook, someone here, someone listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, in his hardships and struggles, Patrick cried out to God who heard him and saved him. If you sincerely cry out to God to save you, he will. The message of St. Patrick is the same today. Confess your sin. Repent, turn around from it, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we want to thank you for the life, legacy, and the love of Patrick, Lord God, who came to this island, anointed by the power of your Spirit to preach the gospel. And many people, Lord God, got saved. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the wonders of your love. Thank you that even, Lord God, in the hardships that he endured, It was a time where the Spirit of God moved upon him to cultivate an intimate relationship with you. Lord, help us who know you and love you to live like Patrick lived. In the difficulties, on the mountaintops, in the deep valleys, still to trust in the Lord our Shepherd. Help us to have faith in you. And we pray tonight, Lord, for anyone who is not yet a Christian, that they would understand that Patrick's zeal, Patrick's love for the people of this island was such it compelled him to come back here, even after his captivity, to tell people about the love of God in Jesus. And tonight, Lord God, we have sought to tell people about the love of God in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins that is available for them if they will turn from their sins and put their trust in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we ask tonight, Lord, please, that that message would resound into people's hearts and minds, and that people would believe and so be saved, and that the serpents, the snakes of wickedness, would be banished from their lives as they're set free from the grip of Satan, sin, and death. In Jesus' name, amen.